time, we'll have Dr. Cowan, who'll be talking to our listeners on behalf of the Fatty Swing Ship Show. From me, Dan Healy, that's Fatty. What's yours? See you around, and a very good afternoon, everyone. Bye now. In the medium wave band, this is Radio Scotland. And right now it's time to hear from the president of the Glasgow and District Old Age Pensioners Association, Mr. Dr. Arnold B. Card. Dr. Card.
This is indeed a sad occasion for me. It is my last broadcast from Radio Scotland, which, as you probably know, is forced by the government to close down on the 15th of August. Many people believe that Radio Scotland catered only for the lighter side of life, that it was dedicated exclusively to teenage pop groups. I can assure you that in my lifetime's experience in dealing with the problems of our old people, the use of this program has been one of the greatest assets in my continual and oft-time uphill fight for the old folk, who have in many cases been treated by those in authority as the untouchables. Through this channel, I've been able to spotlight problems like the shortage of hospital beds for pensioners. It has enabled me to fight officialdom. And as you know, officialdom does not like adverse publicity. I firmly believe that the price of freedom or justice is eternal publicity. And the results obtained through the use of Radio Scotland have confirmed my views. It has been the means of bringing a little brightness into the drab and often tragic lives of that forgotten section of the community, the old age pensioners. To many old people, bewildered and lost in their fast-moving modern society, Radio Scotland became a true friend. Those who control Radio Scotland, Mr. Tommy Shields and his fellow directors, have never refused me any request to give assistance, material and otherwise, to my association. To the pensioners of Scotland, in their silent agony, the closing of this station is a tragedy. For many of them, housebound by illness or age, Radio Scotland was their only contact with the outside world, because they had come to identify this station as their champion, defending their cause and fighting their injustices. It became a peg in which to hang their hopes, the hopes of people who suffer from fear, not fear of death, but fear of life. For our old people are living in a world consisting mainly of bitterness and frustration, of mawkish absurdity and lunatic atrocities. A world shuddering in paroxysms of violence and tragedy caused by the hatred and intrigues of our fellow creatures. The closing of this wavelength raises another important issue. This affair has an ominous aspect which should concern people of all ages. It is the threat to individual freedom There are many, like myself, who consider this closure as just one more insidious move in the subtle process of whittling away the freedom and rights of the British people. I don't deny that some form of control is sometimes necessary. But to those who dare to think, the signs are clear. Restrictions are slowly being introduced. And make no mistake, these will multiply. The closing of Radio Scotland is one more example of what could be the thin end of a totalitarian wedge. It is said that there are three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the facts. I have attempted to give you the facts. Unfortunately, very few people know or are interested in the facts. Otherwise, red tape and officialdom would not be closing this station. Indeed, there are so many people who are politically apathetic that one wonders if our type of democracy simply boils down to counting millions of empty heads. On the other hand, many who are politically interested and hold important positions in public life will not oppose officialdom, lest it should damage their political careers. They are the politicians and officials who have acquired the peculiar ability of being able to stand upright when creeping. They have the courage to stick anyone's neck out except their own. Such people fill me with contempt. As I said at the beginning, this is a sad occasion for me and for thousands of others. It should also be a lesson for many of us and underlines the need to look out for further restrictions on the individual. It only remains for me now, with a heavy heart, to thank Mr. Tommy Shields most sincerely and the staff of Radio Scotland. And I do so on behalf of my association and thousands of people, young and old, from all parts of the country.
And it's many thanks to Dr. Arnold V. Cowan, the president of the Glasgow and District Old Age Pensioners Association, for his speech. On 242 meters in the medium wave band, this is Radio Scotland. And it's 1:30, and as usual, here's our managing director, Mr. Tommy Shields, with his weekly Good Neighbours and Fireside Chat. For this Sunday, it's a Good Neighbours with a difference. In fact, it's the last ever Good Neighbours and Fireside Chat you will be hearing over the 242 airwaves. So I would like you all now to listen closely to our managing director, Mr. 242 himself, Mr. Tommy Shields.
On the piano will be the last time I shall ever have of presenting any snacks from an LP before I begin my weekly fireside chat. Well, let me begin as usual by saying on this very pleasant Sunday afternoon. Hello, everyone. Yes, it's me, your man in the hot seat at Radio Scotland House. For the very last time on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to miss you, I can tell you. You know, since we started way back on New Year's Eve 1965, I feel that I know each and every one of you individually. Such has been the heavy and happy flow of mail between you out there and all of us here at Radio Scotland House. I feel that I am justified in taking the liberty of saying that we are and have been ever since the first Black Bear signature tune went out over the air in 1965. We have been, and I hope still are, I'm sure we still are, members of one big happy family. Well, there's no need for me to tell you how sad I am today. I said last week to you, if you remember, that we all fought very bravely and we lost the fight. And I can hardly believe it yet. You know, it's going to be especially hard for me to grasp the fact that on Tuesday morning, August the 15th, I won't wake up to check on Rooster Call, to organize the next day's programming, to make sure that the sales team of DJs are standing by, waiting to go out to the Comet, to answer the hundreds of letters I receive every day, to speak to the press, to answer questions from members of the staff, from Mrs. Reed, our accountant, to Mr. Wilson, our sales manager, to arrange to speak at this or that function, or to be represented here or there. You know, when I first dreamed up a free radio service for Scotland, about 2.5 years ago, I never dreamt for a moment that I would be the centre of one of the biggest rows in our history. But, and I say this with all sincerity and all modesty, it seems as though I have been singled out to lead, at least in one of the avenues for a free, independent Scotland. And I want to say this too here, that although Radio Scotland is finished, I shall be waiting patiently on the sidelines for any call to take up the fight for Scotland, in whatever field I may be asked. You remember, by the way, I intended to stand for the Pollock election. Well, events at that time forced me to abandon the idea simply because of pressure of work and organizing the affairs of our own radio station, the Big Yes. But it is still one of my biggest regrets that I wasn't able to contest that election, for I am sure I would have made a big impact on the result. I felt, indeed I knew, that I had a large following, a backing that would have spoken out for a freer Scotland and for the retention of our very own radio station. I can tell you now then that that is one of my biggest regrets, that I wasn't able to stand for that election. Well, you remember last week I spoke of my brave crew on the Comet, and you know, when I have time to sit down and reminisce and to speak about these things again, I remember with pride the wonderful way my team of DJs were able to stand up to the rigors of the sea, of the North Sea, and all the gales they went through from 4, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and were still able to present programs for your action. Well, I spoke, as I said, last crew on the Comet, but this week I'd like to name a few people here at Scotland House who have been every bit as loyal and enthusiastic as the boys on the Comet. Although I shan't be able to mention everybody at Radio Scotland House, I have taken it random some of the names of people who have been stalwarts of the organization. One of these is our van driver, Jimmy McEwen. Now, although he was the van driver, in fact, he was the jack of all trades. He organized so many, many things for us. He stood in for me when I wasn't there. He made decisions. And Jimmy could always be relied upon to go out to the Comet at any time of the day or night. He traveled in his van from east to west, from west to east, and in fact he was even in Ireland with us. I shall certainly miss him, as indeed I shall miss every other member of the staff. Right down at the other end of the scale, Annie McCormick, our office cleaner. Annie's always cheerful, and in fact, she was speaking to me before I came into the studio to record this wee spiel to you today. She said, "Mr. Shields, I can hardly believe, you know, that we're coming off the air." I said, "Well, Annie, I can hardly believe myself." And from Ben, or I beg your pardon, from Annie, on to the lad in the studio, Mervyn Hughes. He's a very young man, but he's had the responsibility over past months of recording very many programs for you. And I say this again in all sincerity, that here is a young man with a very great future in the electronics field. Well, I could go on and on and on, but I'm sure that every other member of the staff, whom I haven't got any time to mention today, will realize and understand that they, too, have my heartfelt thanks. When I was mentioning earlier some of the boys and girls at Radio Scotland House who never get any sort of publicity, but who are as loyal and as faithful as everybody else in the organization, I forgot to mention one friend of mine, who was a friend of all of us at Radio Scotland, and he was Mr. Bill McKellar. Bill and I started Radio Scotland way back in 1965, and Bill could always be relied upon to go anywhere, do anything, and organize anything. In fact, he spent many's the hour in aircraft and planes and in buses and on the roads, organizing this and organizing that. And unfortunately, he passed away a few months ago, and we still, all of us, miss him at Radio Scotland. Well, this, as I said earlier, is a very sad day for me, because it's almost the end of Radio Scotland, the end of a dream. And I know that although many thousands of young people, of teenagers, will miss the big S as they name our station, I know so will thousands of mums, young, not so young, to say nothing of the many thousands of citizens who listen in to Radio Scotland today. Well, we've fought, and you've helped me to fight. But we lost, but I don't think we will be off the air for very long, because somehow or other, I don't think that this will be the end of Radio Scotland. It will probably be the end of Radio Scotland as such from a ship. But I have great faith that someday, in the near future, we'll be back, provide a service, the kind of service that ended, in fact, and has been denied. Well, there we are. This, as I said earlier, is the last occasion I shall have of speaking to you on Sunday afternoon. And it only remains for me to say again, thank you to all of you people out there who have supported me over the past 18 months. Thanks a million, too, for the many sixpences for the Sixpenny Snowball Fund. Thanks, too, for the letters I've received, the phone calls and the telegrams and the postcards. I remember with pride, with a great deal of pride, the wonderful way you have helped me to fight. I remember, too, with especial pride, the 2.5 million folks who signed the petition forms. There are so many things to remember, but perhaps above all is the fact that I knew out there we had a very loyal audience of Scotsmen and women who have supported me to the dying hours of Radio Scotland.